Hey guys, finding the perfect gift for the food lover in your life is easy. Thanks to Goldbelly. Goldbelly ships America's most iconic foods straight from world-famous restaurants right to your door. So if you want to treat someone to Joe's Stone Crab from Miami, Franklin Barbecue from Texas, or desserts from famous foodies like Ina Garten or Martha Stewart, Goldbelly has you covered with free shipping anywhere in the country. Just go to goldbelly.com and for a limited time, get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT. That's promo code GIFT.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Ukraine launches massive drone attack on Russia, says the London headline. Kyiv strikes key microelectronics plant used to develop Russian missile system. A burning building in the distance. I welcome Colonel Jeff McCausland, United States Army retired artilleryman. CBS News visiting Professor Dickinson College, CEO Diamond Six Leadership and Strategy. The Ukrainian drone attack follows within hours the days-long assault by Russia against Kyiv itself, burning buildings in downtown Kyiv. At the same time, we're told today that Mr. Zelensky has traveled to Berlin. In Berlin, he consulted with the Chancellor, Friedrich Merz, who has made remarks suggesting that Germany will now manufacture long-range strike missiles that will be permitted to be shipped into Ukraine and used against Russian deployment. That very much sounds like strikes against Russian soldiers, but it could be strikes against Russian infrastructure. Jeff, a very good evening to you. This war is not winding down. It is not pausing. It is accelerating. What are you watching for in these announcements from Berlin, from Kyiv, from Moscow, from Washington? Good evening to you.
Well, good evening to you, John. You're exactly right. In addition to the strikes you talked about by the Ukrainians against Russia, you know, within the last week, John, we've seen three of the largest ballistic missile and drone attacks on Ukrainian cities in this entire war. Over 900 drones across about a three-day period struck targets all across the Ukraine. And it was very clear that the Russians were targeting cities and living areas as opposed to focusing on military targets. Most, I think, assume two things. One, the Russians are trying to undermine Ukrainian morale. And number two, trying to present a picture to the West that, in fact, Russian success is, in fact, now inevitable. And now we have the new German chancellor, as you suggest, stepping forward to say that he will stand behind Ukraine. This is in the aftermath, of course, of him running on and having passed expanded legislation which allows Germany to expand its deficit spending and debt in order to expand production of military weapons for its own use as well as for export. And increasing solidarity appears to me between London, Paris, and Berlin on that effort. In addition to Merz making those comments, we've had the Prime Minister of Great Britain as well as the President of France both saying that Ukraine can now use weapons provided by them at the maximum range those weapons can provide. And we're talking about the Storm Shadow missile provided by the UK and a similar weapon provided by France, which will allow the Ukrainians to strike deeper and deeper into Russian territory against infrastructure or military targets, as you suggest. What I'm looking for, of course, is whether or not the Europeans can continue that particular effort of expanded military assistance to Ukraine, number one. But number two is, what will happen in Washington? Mr. Trump now has failed in his efforts to convince Mr. Putin to accept a 30-day ceasefire and go to negotiations. He has even in the last day or so referred to Mr. Putin as he has gone crazy, and he has threatened to do things and said really bad things can happen. But so far, at least, that has all been rhetoric, suggesting to me for at the moment, Putin severely believes that his willpower is far stronger in the West, and he can persist in this particular conflict to achieve his goal, if not the full outright occupation of Ukraine, at least the neutralization of Ukraine, consistent with his long-term discussion of things like Ruski Mir, the Russian world, and Novo Russia, the new Russia, trying to define the boundaries in many ways of the Russian Federation to look not unlike the boundaries of the Russian Empire, as I think really Putin sees as his goal in life and his objective to become the next Peter the Great of Russia, as opposed to the next Soviet leader like his predecessors.
Russia said after these attacks by Ukraine, featured in the London news, 13 regions were targeted: Moscow, Bryansk, Belgorod, Vladimir, Voronezh, Ivanovo, Kaluga, Kursk, Oryol, Ryazan, Smolensk, Tver, and Tula. That means the war came home across Russia. Yes, they claim they're striking military targets. Mistakes happen, but still, it doesn't make you feel safe when a missile passes over your head to hit a military target in the region. Jeff, this war is growing. Is there any sense in Washington or in London that growing wars become really dangerous to people who think they're on the sidelines?
Well, I would hope leaders on all sides understand that this is a slow-moving crisis that could go very badly. And we've seen the Russians on several occasions threaten the use of nuclear weapons. Mr. Medvedev, for example, in his response to Trump's calling Putin crazy and saying bad things can happen, Medvedev actually said, yes, bad things can happen. World War III could happen, suggesting along the lines that you are saying, John, that this is getting worse and worse as things go on. The Russians have been able to push the Ukrainians out of the Kursk pocket, that territory, Russian territory occupied by Ukrainian forces for about 5 or 6 months. And they're now trying to create a territorial buffer zone. But in response now, we see the Ukrainians having expanded ability, as you suggest, if not to occupy Russian territory, to hold large segments of Russian territory at risk, and now being assisted by support directly from the Western Europeans. And I think over time that will also transpire into not only military aid, but increased indigenous production by the Ukrainians in longer range systems, both cruise and ballistic missiles, as well as drones that can continue to threaten that particular territory. Because for the Ukrainians, they believe their only way to success is by bringing the war home to the Russian people, and in so doing, perhaps allow force Mr. Putin to look for some negotiated settlement.
Your measure right now of the U.S. position, military position, we provide intelligence, detail. That intelligence is part of the package that delivers those drones, correct? That's the targeting.
Absolutely correct, John. And this is a grave concern of the Ukrainians. Obviously, we have not heard anything, nor I think will we, from the Trump administration about additional military aid packages being passed by the United States Congress to provide continued economic and military aid to Ukraine. We know there are still a certain amount of weapon systems in the pipeline. These were weapon systems that were approved by the Biden administration under appropriations provided by Congress. The last I heard, there were still a couple billion dollars in appropriated funds for that purpose. So now more and more, the main thing the United States contributes is command and control, targeting, some degree of training to the Ukrainians. We sold a small package of spare parts to them for their very small F-16 fighter forces. But those are critical for the Ukrainians to have any really profound effect on those long-distance targeting. There was a period of time, of course, shortly after that disastrous February meeting between Zelensky and Trump in the White House, where the United States suspended targeting. And it was clear that had a direct impact on how well and how poorly the Ukrainians could perform on the battlefield. So if Mr. Trump decides, where it appears to me likely, to walk away from this particular war, does that mean totally walking away? Or will the United States at least continue to provide that intelligence, training, command and control, which will allow the Ukrainians to deliver weapons provided by our European allies or produced by the Ukrainians with still deadly effect against Russian targets?
Also, war warning, Kashmir, the four-day exchange of weaponry by India and Pakistan is not complete. One side says suspension of military activities. The other side says ceasefire. They both remain at the ramparts. What we saw was a tangle between two nuclear-armed states that had been going on for more than half a century. I'm watching this, Jeff, because as we're watching escalation in Ukraine, we could easily see escalation accelerate in that war, but that's happened before. Mr. Modi has now said any act of terrorism is going to be regarded as an act of Pakistan attacking us and will respond in kind. Pakistan is led by a man who reads his Quran every day and is understood to be extremely pious, meaning he's not unsympathetic to jihadism. It says India. So what we're looking at is a moment in time that could easily, what kind of catastrophe can we imagine in the subcontinent?
Well, John, I've always said that the most dangerous place on the planet Earth was the border between India and Pakistan, while others would look at Korea, perhaps, or the Russians or whatever. To me, because of a lot of work I've done with people in that region, that particular area was the most dangerous. At this point, we have these two longtime enemies going back to 1949 with a total nuclear arsenal of somewhere around 340 nuclear weapons. And I've been involved, John, in war games on what would happen if this got out of control. In one particular war game, computer-assisted, the analysis suggested that just the exchange of 50 weapons from each side, 50 nuclear weapons from India, 50 nuclear weapons from Pakistan, could result in the death immediately of 21 million people in the region, untold amount of injuries, of course, and destruction. But then for another year or more, a nuclear winter due to the effects on the ozone layer in that particular region that might deprive it of any agricultural production for well over a year, causing perhaps mass starvation and famine all across the region. And that's only with a modest one-third or less of the nuclear arsenal that those two countries have. And you're right again, John. This is at a moment where in Pakistan, and the guy you're talking about is General Munir, who in the aftermath of this crisis now is Field Marshal Munir, who is the leader of the Pakistan Army, chief of staff of the army, in many ways the most powerful person in Pakistan, not the prime minister, who is religiously motivated, very conservative Muslim. And don't forget, of course, that in India, we have the most Hindu nationalist leader in the history of the Indian democracy, and Mr. Modi, who believes he is also motivated by God, the Hindu God, to lead India, and then suggesting, as you said, that he would consider any attack by Pakistan, terrorists or otherwise, to be a declaration of war. Meanwhile, we have not seen any real resolution of the issues, particularly the issue of water, because we've on this recent crisis for the first time, India announced it was suspending a treaty back to 1965 where both countries share the Indus River water, and about 90% of India, of Pakistan, I should say, is irrigation depends on that water. Pakistanis have said if India actually implements that particular threat, it would be a declaration of war because it's existential for Pakistan.
Colonel Jeff McCausland, CBS News. We're headed to the Middle East. I'm John Batchelor.
Hey guys, have you heard of Goldbelly? It's this amazing site where they ship the most iconic, famous foods from restaurants across the country, anywhere, nationwide. I've never found a more perfect gift than food. Goldbelly ships Chicago deep dish pizza, New York bagels, Maine lobster rolls, and even Ina Garten's famous cakes. So, if you're looking for a gift for the food lover in your life, head to goldbelly.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT. That's goldbelly.com, promo code GIFT.